Hey, everybody. It's Monday once again. Doesn't it seem like we were just doing this? Time is flying by, yeah. I guess, like when you get old.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you know.
So old, I thought it was Wednesday.
Did you really?
For a minute.
For a minute, he thought it was Wednesday.
Yeah, it's
Wednesday.
Going on. Oh, hold on.
We're talking about blood visions.
Yeah.
Blood visions.
Blood visions, yeah.
I will say about, I like that the title of this one is, like, specific. Because you know how we're always complaining, like a lot of the titles of a haunting are kind of like, you know, echoes from the grave.
Yeah, at least you can remember this one.
But at least you can remember this one, and it's an apt title because even though other stuff happens in it, there is a guy that has visions, and they do indeed have blood in them.
Yeah, it could have been named like, you know, Visions of the Past, Visions of the Dead, Hand of the Dead.
They didn't call one Hand of the Dead, did they? They no. had other ones they like had, some like yeah, something yeah, yeah. of the
Hand
dead.
From the Grave.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
But see, that's, again, very specific. But I like that this had a specific
title. Booty from the morgue. That'd be awesome. It's about a hooker comes back.
Or it could be about a necrophile.
Yeah, something probably. Like that. Booty from the grave.
Booty from the grave.
Yeah. It's like,
I'll give you $1 if you can find a porn version, or a porn movie called that. I bet there is
booty
one.
Booty from the grave. Yeah.
Because there's probably, like, horror-themed porn, too. Mm-hmm. Ben says, darn it, I just realized I forgot to bring my earphones for my bus train trip today. Oh, that sucks.
Put the subtitles on.
Yeah, well, the subtitles don't come in until after. We'll have to maybe, I don't know. I don't know that much. I don't know that much. Mm-hmm. What do you call the thing? What do you call the thing when you talk with your hands? Why can't I remember?
Sign language.
Thank you. God.
Yeah.
I have mad cow disease. I'm proud. I can't remember shit. But it's, like, just the simplest fucking things. But yeah, so this was from season 5, episode 1, I think. Can we talk for a second about, and I even wrote this down, like, in the back of my notes, and I always make myself laugh, because I write the notes down really fast, like, while we're watching it, and then, like, the next day when I'm reading them back for the show, I'm always kind of like, holy shit, that's funny that I wrote that. But can we talk about, like, the actor that plays the teenager, the one that's at... And I was like, one, he has, like, the biggest nostrils. I was just kind of like, the whole time, I was like, I almost kind of want to, like, stick my fingers in there and, like, yank. You know what I mean? It was like that.
Yeah. And little chipmunk teeth.
And he also had, like, a weird beard, that, like, I guess this came out in 2012, this season.
Okay.
And I kind of feel, I associate that beard, that look with the 90s, but I don't know what that was all about. And then, like, I was telling you last night, I said, one, he looks like he's in, like, a bad 90s indie band. And two, he always looks like he's smelling a fart.
There's a certain look for that, huh?
Well, yeah. You know, well, he's just always making a face. Like, he's always making a look like, you know what I mean?
Well, he's acting, you know?
I know.
He's acting, and he's fucking, every time he's...
He was kind of, except with, I mean, his nostrils are like 3 times bigger than your nostrils.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have big nostrils, but this dude's nostrils were like off the fucking chain.
It's still a good episode.
This is actually like a better episode than
it's
I
all,
remember.
It's all like watching a movie. This is a good season, actually.
I feel like they were deliberately trying to get more cinematic in this one because, I mean, they even changed up like the themes a little bit. Like, it still has, you know, that the motif that it had before.
Yeah, and the titles look all fucking cool.
Yeah, but it sounds like a lot more cinematic. Like, it looks a lot more cinematic, and it looks like they spent some more money on it.
Hand me that right there.
Hand me
We're going to share this.
We're going to share it?
Yeah, we're going to share this. I gave you too much.
Yeah, what'd you do? How'd you do that?
I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, well, you know.
And I had to polish off that thing of juice.
Oh, okay.
So I gave you a little bit more juice.
Okay, that's fair enough. Omri Vampire said, I can't, whoops, some stupid thing popped up in front of the chat. I can't believe how many haunting episodes there are. So many ghosts. I know, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we're only, there's a lot we haven't covered. How many seasons is it? Was it like 12 seasons? 13 seasons?
Yeah, and I got a lot of them. Like I got all the physical media ones and a couple of the ones that you can get. I bought the season on Amazon Prime.
On Amazon Prime. You can't buy all the seasons, but most of them you can. I think we bought season 8.
Yeah, some of them they had up, some of them they didn't have up for sale. Some of the newer ones.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
We've seen, I think, all of them at some point or another because we used to watch it when we had cable, but like whenever it was on.
Some of those seasons come and go in terms of availability.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's probably like a rights issue, I would imagine.
Look at that. There's not a room up there. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. They got room for everything else, so.
True.
I don't know.
But they'll be like, season 15, it's here. And then sometimes season 15 will be blank. there's nothing there. It's not for sale. Yeah. It's weird, you know?
Yeah, that is.
It weird. Might be licensing costs. Like they can only rent the ability to sell it.
That's what I was thinking. That they'd only have it for like a limited time. Because they have all kind of deals like that, like with copyright and rights and everything like that. Like,
gotta check and see if any new ones have appeared.
Yeah, did we even ever finish watching all the eight ones that we bought? I don't think so. I don't remember if we did.
We have to check.
Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to, like I said, I was trying to go back and fill in the gaps in like the old ones that we hadn't got to. And I was like, well, we did most of season 1 through 4, so we've done a few from like season 5, 6, and 7 too. But like this one we definitely hadn't done. And this was one that I remembered mostly because, like I said, the title was specific. And I was like, oh yeah, that's the one with the guy that actually saw Blood Visions. So, you know, good title. So, so this one actually takes place in a suburb of Detroit. And we're following the Johnson family, and I'm guessing that's their real name because they were all, the real people were on there. They weren't like in shadow or anything. They didn't say what year this took place. Not that I remembered anyway, but it looks like it probably wasn't that long before the show came out. And that's, this show aired in 2012. Because when they were doing the reenactment, the teenage boys, they didn't look that much older than they were supposed to be, like, in the reenactment, you know what I mean? So, I mean, because, like, the kid still looked young. Like, he still looked, like, 19, 20, something like that. So I'm assuming it was just, like, a year or two before 2012. So at the very beginning of this, and this is kind of going along with what we were saying about this season starting to go more cinematic, was that they did kind of like a cold open or like a flash forward where they showed like a scene from the end with, you know, the exorcism thing. And everybody's like standing around like really intensely yelling. I mean, I have to say in this one, like the actors in this one, man, they really went for it.
Yeah.
They really went
for it. They're trying to up the game.
So they're just all like really intensely like, and they were like all screaming like that. And I was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, the kind of like a documentary feel of season 1 through 4 is gone by the time season 5 comes around.
Yeah.
It's straight up monster movies.
Yeah, they're trying to make it more like basically a movie.
Yeah.
Which you can see why they were.
Yeah, it's all right. It's kind of like something out of some of these new fucking, you know, La Llorona movies, you know, fucking that Conjuring universe. You can see the Conjuring universe, I think. Well, maybe there's only a couple different ways you could do these anyway.
That's true.
So,
and I mean, that's one of the things to copy because those things are like make all the money. Mm-hmm. When did the first Conjuring movie come out? I don't even fucking remember.
I don't know. They start to kind of feel like that.
Yeah. And like I said, they look like they spent some money on the special effect. I mean, they're not, you know, Hollywood level, but they're still like pretty fucking good for TV. So yeah, so they do this flash forward with like the exorcism, which I thought was really funny. And then they're like 6 months earlier, you know what I mean? So as I said, this is the Johnson family. The mom's name is Betty, and she's married to a dude named Bruce, and I guess they've been married for 20 years. And they have two sons who were like, I guess they were like teenagers, or Bryn. They said Bryn, right? That was his name?
Yeah.
I think that was what his name was, the guy with the nostrils. But like the real guy didn't look anything like the actor, but the actor had big, huge nostrils and a weird beard. And so he was the older one, and I'm guessing he was like an older teenager. Maybe he was supposed to be like 17, 18, something like that. And then he had like a younger brother named Dylan who was, I guess, supposed to be 12, 13. Mm-hmm. Couldn't really tell. I'm not good at telling like kids' ages. So apparently they moved to this big rural house in a suburb outside of Detroit. It's like a big farmhouse kind of thing. Now, the farmhouse, as far as I could determine, because I was writing down the notes really fast, it belonged to Bruce's parents. So Betty's parents-in-law. And I guess for whatever reason, the mom and dad, like the in-laws were still alive, but they had moved somewhere else and they were like, hey, you guys can either you can have it or you can rent it or you can buy it from us or something. So the family moves into this rural house and they're all like super jazzed about it. And then I kind of laughed because the narrator, Anthony Call, he says on there, things seem okay for now, but are they?
No, of course they're not. Man, if they got you on this case, then no, it ain't gonna.
Wouldn't it be funny if he said that, and then a second later he's like, "It was okay." The end, and then the credits run.
Yeah, it was all cool.
Nothing happened.
Good night,
people. I would love that. That would be fucking hysterical. Yeah. But yeah, but are they? No, they're not all right. Spoiler alert. So Betty says they move into the house, and she's like, it felt like really homey. She said it's an old house, so it was kind of quirky, but, you know, nothing seemed weird at first. And obviously, because it was an old house, needed some work. They said it was mostly cosmetic work, so they kind of were getting started to work on that. So the first thing that happens, I guess, is she goes down to the basement, because, you know, bad shit always happens in the basement. And she's starting to, like, organize it, but she starts getting, like, a really creepy feeling in there, like most people get in most basements, because basements are creepy, like, inherently. And so she just figures, well, you know, the house is just old, and I just need time to get used to it. It's no big. But then, about a week later, I think they said, Betty is, like, unpacking around the house and starts hearing very distinctly what sounds like a woman sobbing. And I believe she said it was coming from the basement, even though obviously there are no sobbing women down in the basement. That would be a little bit alarming. And I don't think anyone else was even home. And then, she said it sounded like a woman in agony. That's what she said it sounded like. And then there was like a really loud scream, like a woman screaming. And then like a louder scream that, for real, I don't know if this is what it really sounded like, but on the reenactment, it sounded like somebody was being fucking murdered or whatever.
Basements are so creepy that Florida banned them.
My grandfather's house had one.
Yeah.
But it was half underground and half above ground a little bit.
They're rare here.
Yeah, you don't usually. Like I said, I don't even know. I think it's mostly just because we're right at sea level.
And water
like,
table
they
too
would
high.
Just they would just flood all the time.
Yeah.
Because the water is like right underneath the surface. So, she was like kind of freaking out at first. And she was like, well, maybe it was a neighbor. Or maybe it was like an animal, you know, getting killed outside or something like that. So she runs outside to see if anything is going on and she doesn't see anything. And she's like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, tired and I'm hearing things. You know how when you get tired and you hear random people screaming.
Yeah, I
always hear when
you get tired.
I can't count the number of times that's happened. I mean, I'm sure it could happen, but I'm just saying. So they say, like, over the next few months, they're kind of, like, settling into the house or whatever. And they said, well, Bruce, I'm always kind of interested in what their jobs are. Bruce is an appliance salesman or appliance repairman or something like that. And Betty, they said she worked full-time, too, but and they said what she did, but I didn't hear it. And I was just like, she does what? And I was like, well, never mind. I was too lazy to back it up. So she has a job, too. Now, one thing that she said she started seeing at first was she kept seeing, like, movement out of the corner of her eye, like, shadows, like, moving. But it looked like, at least on the reenactment, it was, like, shadows, like, moving across the floor. Because she said at first she thought it was the cat, like, running around, like, the furniture and stuff. Like, oh, hey, kitty, have you got a mouse or something like that? And then she's kind of, like, goes over there, and the cat is just laying there going, what the fuck are you looking at me for? I didn't do anything. And, you know what I mean? They just showed it kind of like a little shadow, like, going, like, all over the floor. That's, I guess, what she kept saying. And then they kind of just went right into the real scary shit, because apparently she looks out the window. I don't remember if it was the kitchen window or the living room window or whatever, but she sees this old dude's face, like, looking in at her, and she's like, and I immediately knew that it wasn't a real person because that window was too high up for there to be just somebody standing there looking in the fucking window. So it was like a scary looking old dude, like, looking in the house, which is a ghost, right? And the funny thing about Betty, because she was really on there and they're like interviewing her and stuff, she's pretty chill about the ghosts, really. Well, I mean, she said that, well, she believed in ghosts to start with, so she wasn't like real. I mean, she was scared, but she didn't seem like she was like super, super alarmed about it.
No, she was all chilled out like she's a ghost expert.
Well, yeah, because she was just like, well, it's an old house, so of course there's probably ghosts in it.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, and I was actually more curious than scared. And she was like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which I thought was kind of funny. And yeah, she did kind of seem like, not in a way that was like obnoxious, but she did kind of seem like she's like, yeah, she knew all this stuff about ghosts. But, you know, she ends up having to question it later on. Yeah. So a few nights later, the two sons, who I said, one of them is like an older teenager and one was like a younger teenager, I guess. Bryn and Dylan are their names. And they're home by themselves while their parents are at work. So they start hearing, like, a banging sound from the garage. And they think maybe somebody, like, is an intruder. Like, somebody broke into the garage or something like that. So they go to check it out. And they open the garage door. And they say it looked like a garage that was kind of like a detached garage sort of thing, like a shed. And so they go out there and look, and they see this guy, like, they just see him from behind, and he's, like, farting around on the, you know, workbench or whatever. And they said for a second, they thought it was their dad. And they're just like, hey, dad, like, what are you doing here or something? And then, like, the dude turns around, and it's not their dad. It's no. Like, it's that creepy old guy that was, like, looking at their mom through the window.
Looks like he was panning for gold. Yeah. Goddamn white beard and shit, you know. The minor 49er.
He did kind of look like that, didn't he? Yeah, he did kind of look like that. But yeah, it was, he was just like farting around. It's like, how sad is it that like you finally get to come back as a ghost and it's like super amazing and all you're doing is like tinkering around in a garage like, where are those washers?
He was looking for stuff.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
But sorting through those nuts and bolts.
Right. I forgot.
Trying to figure out, he's trying to fucking separate metric from standard.
I forgot to do this before I died. Yeah. I have to finish this. That's like, man, that's like existentially depressing.
If you own a Harley or a Buell or a Ford or any shit like that, it would actually not even a Ford anymore, you'll know how fucking frustrating dealing with fucking metric and standard in the same house is. Shit. Sorting out all the fucking bolts and all the tools and shit.
Yeah.
Driving you fucking crazy. I still got a bunch of them down there I have to sort. Like, I don't want to.
Maybe you'll come back as a ghost one day and I'll see you in there doing that just for. God damn it.
Yeah. Fuck it. I'll sort them in the next life. Throw them out and be done with it.
but yeah. So they see this guy and it's like, I don't think they initially thought it was a ghost, even though I think it was Bryn, the older one, he said that it felt really cold in there and like he felt all his hair stand up on end. But they just thought it was like a dude had broken into their garage and was farting around in there. So their mom like comes home a few minutes later, like she pulls up in the driveway and they're like, mom, holy shit, there's like a dude in the fucking garage or whatever. And she's like, oh, I wonder if that's the ghost. And they're like, what? You know what I mean? Like, you knew that there's a fucking ghost in the house? You know, it's just like, or, you know, it could just be the kids being drama queens. I'm not really sure. But, because the kids said they saw it disappear. They saw him disappear, right? Like, after he turned around and they were like, oh my God, that's not dad. And then he went just like, boop, you know. So they thought it was kind of funny that she knew about the ghost and she's just like, oh yeah, like, I've seen that dude before. And she's like pretty chill about it. And she said something like Halloran says in The Shining, where, you know, it's just like a movie and it can't hurt you.
Yeah.
That was her theory anyway. Turned out it was wrong, but, you know.
Yeah, you can only see them, basically, so they can't touch you or anything.
Yeah, so she was just kind of like, eh, chill out, you know. So the next day, apparently, the boys are exploring the property. And apparently there's this old, because like I said, it's a big farmhouse. It was, I don't know how much land it was or whatever. But there was like an older house or like a shed that was behind theirs that their grandfather used like to put tools and other vehicles in and stuff like that. And usually, Grandpa kept it locked, like it had a padlock on it or something like that. But they said that they noticed while they walked by that it was unlocked, which they thought was really weird because Grandpa always like told them to stay out of there, and he always kept it locked. So they were like, "Well, fuck it, let's go in here." So, which, you know, stupid idea. So they said they went in there, and I get like nothing weird happened. Like they just said it was like super, super cold, and then they just got like really, really creeped out. And so they started thinking, yeah, there's a fucking ghost in here. And then they ran out. And then after they ran out, like, the door slammed by itself, like, once they were outside. And so Bryn starts yelling at the ghost, kind of like, you know, what do you want? Get out of here, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, you know, and the younger kid, like, just runs off, like, fuck this noise, and, like, runs off into the woods or whatever. But then, like, after Bryn was, like, yelling at the shed, a branch, like, falls off a tree, like, on him and almost, like, crushes his head or whatever.
Or supposedly, yeah.
Supposedly. Yeah, maybe it like, fell over there.
A branch might have been just a regular little twig that falls out of trees, you know? The wind blew. And
yeah, it was like,
shit, man, that branch almost hit me.
That fucking ghost, yeah. Man, he's trying to kill me.
Then they're showing one that big around in the fucking theater, in the fucking episode.
Yeah, it looked like one that could have probably, like, like, cracked your skull or something. Curly says you die and you come back just to sort your toolbox. Yeah right? I kind of feel like that's what this old dude
was
doing.
That job was done. You finish the job and you're like, fuck it. I'll do that later. You never get around to it. You're tired, man. Yeah.
So yeah, so apparently they thought, at least, that the ghost would try to drop a branch on him because he yelled at the ghost, and the ghost apparently doesn't like that. He's very, very sensitive about being yelled at. So Bryn said that he felt like an energy or a negative something like run by him into the woods. And so when he tells his mom, Betty, about it, she's like, oh, well, maybe I was wrong about this whole ghost can't hurt you type of thing. Maybe they can actually interact with people. And maybe now my kids are in danger, because don't yell at ghosts, kids. That's never a good, never a good look. So later on that night, she tells her husband, Bruce, about the shit, and saying, I don't really feel safe here anymore, because, you know, the ghost tried to crush our son's head with a branch. Now, to Bruce's, in Bruce's defense, he wasn't one of those husbands that's usually on this show where he's just like, what are you, crazy? We can't move, blah, 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 blah. You guys are just imagining stuff. He didn't seem like super, I don't think he had seen anything, but he was kind of like, because she was like, yeah, I saw some shit, and then now the kids have seen it too. And he was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, I guess it's a thing then. And they actually, unlike many of the families on here, they decide to move. So they didn't even, like, stick around. They were just like, fuck it. Well, the thing about it is that this was Bruce's parents' house. And I don't know. I don't think they specified whether they bought the house from them or if they were just renting from them or if they were just letting them stay there or something. They did say something about money, so I'm assuming they were renting it. But Betty was just kind of like, well, you know, it doesn't really matter anyway, because it's like, this isn't really our house. You know, it's my in-law's house. And she's like, and it was like 45 minutes each way to my job, and that kind of sucked. Like, it was a long commute and everything like that. So it's like, so maybe we should just move, because I don't really like this. So you know, so the Hubs is like, all right, they had enough money saved, which, you know, and then they decided to move. So they got a newer house, like a much newer house, in another suburb of Detroit. But then, unfortunately, not too long after they moved to the new house, Betty lost her job. And so, obviously, they don't have as much money as they used to have, and they have all these expenses that had to do with moving. So Bruce actually had to end up working a lot more to compensate, like, until she could find something else. Now, as I mentioned, Bruce is an appliance repair, I think he was an appliance repairman, right? Salesman or repairman? So, yeah, because I think he was going on service calls. So he was like repairing people's appliances and whatnot. So for like a 3 to 4 month period, he said he was taking Bryn, the son, along on some jobs with him. Now, at one particular job that they were out, just in a random house, I'm guessing, Bryn has the first of many blood visions. That's the one that he had. So apparently they clean up, they were doing some plumbing or fix a dishwasher or whatever, and he's washing his hands in the sink, and all of a sudden he thinks that there's blood coming out of the sink, right? And it's like all over his hands. And then he just starts saying, oh my God, there's blood in the vent! And then like his dad is like, no, it's just water, you fucking freak, or whatever. And so dad's like putting some, he's like, look, it's just water. But then they showed, like Bryn said, when I looked at my dad's hands, it looked like he had blood all over them. Yeah. And he said that it didn't even feel like water, that it felt like really viscous and sticky like blood as well. So yeah. And while I don't know, I wasn't clear on whether this was the same day or not, because he said that this kind of happened over a few day period. But I guess when they were leaving that job, because he was wigging out, man, the son was, you know, it was like, everything's blood, oh my God. And like, then they're in the truck, like driving back home or wherever, I presume. And they pass a lake, and he's just like, look, the lake is full of blood. And his dad's like, clearly, the lake is not full of blood. Come on now. You know, are you on the drugs? You know what I mean?
He's experiencing the exodus.
I guess so. Yeah, they never brought up that possibility.
Frogs
did they?
And swarms of bugs. And
that's gonna
the
be
firstborn the all start dying.
Oh shit, it's the end times. So so yeah. So they pass the lake, and that looks like blood too. And then he starts hearing, like, just not entirely related, but then he starts hearing like screaming. They said he started hearing screaming like every time somebody talks. I'm like, really? Okay. And I kind of laughed too. I wrote down on my notes, it's under the truck, because they were driving the truck, and he was like, did you just hit something? Because I guess he heard some thumping or like screaming or something. Like, I mean, he was losing it. He's really losing it. So yeah, so he said for a few days all liquid looks like blood, which, as you can imagine, makes life a little difficult as far as, like, brushing your teeth and...
You wouldn't be able to tell one liquid from the next.
And drinking... Shit, I never even thought about that. Because people could fuck with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not great. Crowley said he found the mushrooms. I guess so. He got into his dad's stash. But yeah.
Piss in a cup. Here, drink that.
That would be so mean. That sounds like some shit you would do.
No.
It's like, oh, everything looks like blood? Oh, you don't know what this is.
You'll never know.
Oh, gross. But that's nasty. So mom obviously is a little bit worried about this, as you would be, because like I said, Brent is like losing his fucking mind. He's just flipping the fuck out. Everything looks like blood. He's sitting there at the table. Everybody's drinking things and like they all look like vampires because they all have like fucking blood all over their mouths. And he's sitting there again looking like he smells a fart and, you know, because he's all disgusted by everything. You know, so mom is just like, are you on drugs? You know, give me some. But no, she didn't say that. Or that he was maybe like had schizophrenia or something like that, which is the first thing that I would think, actually. So she takes Bryn to the doctor. They do an MRI, they do EKG, they do all of the acronyms, but they can't really find anything unusual. And apparently he's not on drugs, so they're not really sure what's going on. And he said that after a while he started taking it as, you know, like a vision, like a message from something. Although he said the visions kind of suddenly stopped after a couple of days, and he was really relieved because now he can finally take a shower without feeling like he has blood all over himself, which, you know, again, a little upsetting. But then he's taking the first shower that actually looks like water that he's been able to take for a few days. And then he said he felt the shower curtain move. He said like somebody was raking their fingers across it like that while he was in there. And so he pulls it across, but of course there's nobody in there. And then... evidently, I don't know if he saw this happen or if he just saw it already done, but he said on the mirror somebody had written "die now." I was like, rude. So yeah. So he yells for his mom, who's actually, she's on the phone. I don't know if this is what really happened, but she was on the phone about a job. Like, hey, is that job still available? Yeah, I can come down. And he's like, mom, there's fucking blood in the thing. So it's like, you know, she had to like hang up and she's like, well, thanks. I probably didn't get that job now because now everybody thinks I live with a lunatic. So yeah. Now she starts to think, well, maybe the doctors missed something. You know what I mean? Like maybe he does have some kind of brain damage or something. They didn't see it. So Bryn starts becoming real depressed and withdrawn, starts hearing voices all the time that are also telling him to die now all the time, which, like I said, rude. And, he said that it felt like the weird shit at the farmhouse had, like, followed them. And I guess, like, the place where they live now, I think he said it was 30 miles. It was, like, a 30-mile distance. So he's like, so whatever it was that was at the farmhouse evidently followed us here. Now, at one point... evidently, was I can't remember if he was in the bathroom or if he was in his bedroom, but he saw that same kind of black shadow type situation like his mom saw before, like thinking it was the cat, and it kind of crawled up on the ceiling and whatnot, and then like it kind of went like out of the room and it went into the living room where the rest of the family was sitting on the couch like watching TV, and they all saw it too apparently. So he's like, look, there it is, and it's like it comes up on the ceiling and they're like, holy shit, what the fuck, you know what I mean? They didn't know what the fuck was going on with that. So, which that would be a little scary if you saw like a big fucking just kind of shooting out and he's like, look, I fucking told you I'm not crazy. So, Betty is started, that's the mom. She's starting to think that the presence followed them. So they call up Bruce's mom, who, like I said, owned the old farmhouse that, you know, cause they live in a different house now, but they called about that and they're like, what the fuck was going on there? That's like following us 30 miles. You know, what the fuck? So, Bruce's mom tells them, oh, well, there used to be this old guy who lived in the farmhouse, and he was a real piece of shit. Like, he was a real, like, angry, cranky old fart. And he apparently got into a fight with, I don't know exactly what the details were, but they kind of showed it as, like, a bunch of teenagers that were kind of, like, partying on the land, and the old guy came over and was like, you kids today, blah, blah, blah.
Off my lawn.
Get off my lawn, like, pretty much. And the kids were like, yeah, go to bed, old man, or whatever, you know what I mean? And then, like, the guy was a little bit, it escalated quickly, is what I'm saying. He, like, picks up a beer bottle, and he's like, wachonk, and he, like, hit one of the kids, like, across the face. He didn't kill the kid, but he blinded him. So, you know, like I said, it seems a little excessive. just for that. So yeah. So the girlfriend of the guy who got blinded, the teenager, she went to the cops, and I guess they were gonna arrest the old guy, but it turned out that the old guy, not long after, before he could be arrested,
the old man
left that home
never to return. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, don't worry. She just said the old guy. It just came to mind.
It did, yeah. Well, I
Ed Wood would be proud.
See, that's how my brain works all the time. Like, I'm constantly thinking of, like, other things, like referencing other things. But so, yeah, so before the old fart could be arrested, he was apparently in a horrible, horrible car accident. It broke every bone in his body, and it took him, like, he died, but it took, like, 24 hours. So it was, like, this excruciating thing. So, So they're saying, well, maybe that's what the ghost in the house was, because, you know, he was a little bit mad about how he died and everything, and he was a little bit mad, like, before that. So, you know, it's just like a cranky fucker. So Betty starts looking for a paranormal investigator to help them out. And she basically was like, well, she's like, it was really hard to find somebody because most of them just wanted a bunch of money, and it seemed like a bunch of scammers and stuff like that. So it took, like, a long time to find somebody that didn't look like they were going to grift, you know. So they said, meanwhile, everybody's kind of sleeping together in the living room. They don't really have a lot of money to, like, to hire an investigator, so that's another issue. And then there's a very kind of, like, show-stopping scene where Bryn, the older teenager, he kind of gets pulled down and, like, dragged across the floor. Like, and they actually, I think they used that shot in the opening credit sequence,
yeah,
like for season 5. So if you see like the teenage kid going like ah and being like pulled like back like through this wooden floor, that's from this episode. And then apparently, like, he, you know, he goes way down the hall and his mom's like, holy shit, you know, as you would. And he kind of hits the wall at the end of the hallway, and then he lifts up his shirt and there was like big scratches, you know, with the demonic thing, big scratches on there. And he said not only were they fresh scratches, but he said they felt like dirty or infected. That's what he said they felt like, because like I said, the real kid was on there. So Betty ends up calling a paranormal investigator named Samantha Harris from, I can't remember the name of the place, it was the Michigan Paranormal something something. I didn't have time to write it down. So she says, yeah, we need to do a cleansing on that. And later on, she apparently felt really uneasy at her own house, like before she'd even gone to investigate any of this. And she apparently sees the same black shadow in her house. And she surmises that the evil entity, doohickey, whatever he is like trying to scare her into like not helping the family, right? And she's like, you can't scare me, you know what I mean? So she like yells at the ghost. But she said she was scared, but you know what I mean. So Samantha and her partner, whose name is Kyle, they turn up to the Johnson house the next night. Now, the family tell her about the crabby old man that they saw, but she thinks, of course, it's, guess what, a demon. And she's thinking, see, this was a little bit of a different angle, I thought, because normally they would say, oh, well, it's just a demon that's pretending to be that. But her theory was that, no, this demon was at the old place, and the demon was what was influencing the old man to act an ass. And then, like, when the old man cacked, then the demon was, like, looking for another person to, like, infest. You know what I mean? And so since the teenager was there, he's like, oh, well, there we go. I'm just going to go get in that kid and fuck with him. Because now the old man's gone and his toy's gone now. So yeah. And basically, she's like, if we don't do something, we need to nip this in the bud. Otherwise, it's going to move on to possession. So while they're all talking, apparently the demon is listening to what they're saying and opens all the cabinets. Whoosh, like, all the cabinets open. At which point, I kind of feel it's, you know, I don't believe in demons or anything, but I'm just saying, even if they did exist, I feel like I'd been like, is that all you got? Like, we're sitting here talking about the demon, and then it's like, ooh, I can open all your cabinets. I'm like, big whoop, I can do that too. Like, do something cool.
Because this isn't a demon.
No, of course
this
not.
This is a fucking poltergeist, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are, like, have you been getting, what do you call them, chat? Because I haven't been getting any.
I mean, every now and then. There's not very many people in there.
Oh, okay. I just thought something was wrong because sometimes if the chat stops, that means that it's gonna
drop a comment in the chat section. People
that
make
it's
sure,
that
make
the
sure
stream is like not working.
Yeah, stream should be good.
Yeah, I mean it's still.
I'm streaming it here.
Yeah, it's a green light. It's fine. But yeah, so the demon opens all the cabinets.
Yeah,
like, whoa, motherfuckers. Okay. There you go. Okay, thanks. Yeah, I wasn't sure. Like, nobody was talking, so I thought something was the matter. So, according to the paranormal investigator, and this is something I don't think... They might have mentioned this on another episode, but I don't remember it. But apparently, olive oil drives out evil.
Yeah, you can get it at Publix.
Who knew?
Yeah.
So there must not be any evil anywhere in Italy, for example.
You can put salt around the house. You can drop olive oil, holy water.
Delicious.
It's all inexpensive. You notice that?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, that would really suck if, like, the only way to fight a demon was like, well, you have to buy this $50,000 golden-crusted
powder
something
gold,
or other.
Mercury, you know, depleted uranium. You need that.
It's like, how the fuck am I supposed to afford that? Well, you're just going to have to live with the demon.
It's always something you can give them at the grocery store. Water. Salt. Olive oil. Yeah.
Pretty much. Sage.
Sage. That's another one you could get a pack. I couldn't find the things. Here, man. Fucking McCormick.
Yeah. <It's sprinkler. laughs> That's good enough, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude, you should have got body up.
It's cheaper.
Yeah. Bigger body.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, it's... Maybe ghosts just like all the spices.
Exorcism brought to you by Goya.
Right? Oh, shit. This is we need to do like a whole bit about that. That would be like so funny, like a whole fucking sketch. Yeah, so you got the olive oil. Like I said, this is the first time I've heard like oil, but I didn't know they were talking about like olive oil because I was like, okay, whatever. Like, get some bread to dip in that. And she's got the sage, she's got fucking feathers, she's got all the Catholic shit. I mean, she's covering all the bases, right? So Kyle is anointing the door with olive oil, as one does, in Bryn's room. And he said that he heard a voice say, "Get out now." Which, you know, okay. Very Amityville Horror. And he feels something grab his arm, he said. So meanwhile, Samantha is salting some shit, like, in another room. And then Kyle comes in and is like, the thing just talked to me. I think we should get the fuck out of here because this is, like, way above our pay grade, probably. And they said, oh, my God. Oh, my God, technical difficulties.
No, I ain't a bro.
Well, I'm just saying that. Yeah. So then they said that both her and Kyle felt, like, movement and hatred. I don't know if they actually saw the black thing, like the shadow, but they kind of showed them seeing it like, oh shit, like it was like, whoosh, like across the wall or whatever, but I don't know if they saw it or not. So then at this point, she introduces something, which is again, something I haven't heard of before, but sounds like pretty badass, the warfare prayer, which what I don't, is that a real thing? I mean, I guess it is.
There might be something about
they just said
with,
it.
With Michael, the Archangel Michael, maybe, it might be something like that. Might be something like that.
Doing the ass-kicking prayer.
Doing warfare with the fucking fallen angels and shit.
Yeah, I guess so. But I guess that's where it is. But yeah, she's like, we need to do the warfare prayer. And I'm just like, all right, badass. So at this point, this is when we're getting back to the scene like they should in the flash forward at the beginning with the super dramatic, like, pray-in action that they were all doing. Like, they're all standing around in a circle. And then they were like, and I thought this was funny too because I even wrote it down like the way that the narrator said it, because Bryn has to resist one final attack.
Yeah.
He said it just like that, and I cracked up.
Yeah. So they're telegraphing it. That's the last one. The
Okay. So halfway through the prayer, they said Bryn starts acting weird. Not weird, weird. He was mostly just standing there making like even more like weird farty faces. Like he was making me more. Like his face is all
making sniffing faces.
You know what I mean? And I was just kind of like, that's all the demon's doing, huh? It's like he's just fucking with him. But yeah. Like, and he said he felt like he was going to throw up and while he's making the silly faces. And at this point, this is where in the notes I wrote, dude has huge nostrils and looks like 90s indie band. Also, like he's always smelling a fart. That's what I wrote that right there. But yeah. So at this point, nobody levitated. Nobody coughed up cherry pits. Nobody did anything like that. It just seemed like he made some funny farty faces, said he felt like he was going to throw up, and then they all yelled some, and then there was like some lights flashing, and then it was over.
Yeah.
It's a little anticlimactic.
There wasn't much phenomenon reported in this, really. They saw apparitions.
Yeah.
I guess some cupboards opened. He saw a bunch of blood for several days that went on, right?
Yeah.
And then like a possession.
Sort of.
For like a sort of a possession. That's about it. So it wasn't real phenomena packed. But it was a good episode, though. A lot of hype in it.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, they kept seeing the little black shadow object.
Yeah, like a couple of them saw that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like Demon went away pretty easy, actually. Like I said, no one got pitched against the wall or nothing like that. So they're like, oh, well... The house feels nice and comfortable now, so they all like party and hug each other.
The
and
smell
whatnot.
Of sanctity.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Got the Febreze.
Yeah.
And then they do like a scene toward the end where everybody's like, yay, everything's back to normal. And they're all like sitting in the dining room like one evening, like eating a pizza or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, whoosh, there's like a windy noise and they're like, and then they're like, oh, the window's just open. it was like the end of a bad sitcom.
Yeah.
But so I thought that, you know, it's like sitcoms from the 70s just end like, then they'd freeze frame on like people laughing. It was kind of reminding me of that. Not quite that bad, but it was kind of like that. So yeah, because I wrote windows open, not a demon. Ha ha ha. That's what I wrote it then. And then this, I thought I would comment on this because this kind of is interesting, but I think that Samantha, the paranormal investigator lady, She compared a demon to a tick.
Yeah.
Or a parasite.
It attaches onto you.
Yeah. Okay. It was probably significantly worse than a tick. Yeah. Although ticks can give you Lyme disease, so there is that.
I don't buy it.
I don't believe in demons.
He moved from one place to another, and it went with him, and he was the focus of it. It sounds more like a mild poltergeist case to me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe...
Not a haunting. The hauntings are usually location-based, not person-based.
Yeah.
And if it was a demon, then shit. Demons are ultra-powerful, man. They're fallen angels. They can fucking... They can turn an entire city of people to salt. You know, they can do all kinds of shit.
Yeah, why don't they do shit like that
anymore? Yeah, what's that?
Come on, up your game.
Right.
Now they just open some cabinets.
Yeah, open a cabinet.
Possess a little girl.
Make a dude look like he's smelling farts.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that really doesn't take much. That really doesn't take much. You know what I'm saying?
If this is a real case, I'd say it sounds more like poltergeist. Like a mild one. Poltergeist cases sometimes culminate in something that looks like possession.
Well, like I said, and the fact that it did follow him. And the thing about this one, too, is that, you know, as cool as this episode was, it was a good story and everything like that. But a lot of the stuff... Yeah, some of them saw apparition-type things, like the old guy and the black shadow and everything like that. But it did seem like a lot of it, though, was subjective, because a lot of it was just the kid...
Saying that they saw...
Seeing, stuff. Like, visions of stuff.
Yeah.
Which, that's not necessarily paranormal. That could be a lot of different things.
And what's missing from a poltergeist case in this case is the movement of objects. It's usually lots of movements of objects. Not many objects moved in this. And there were... There were apparitions, and apparitions, you know, ghost figures and black little fucking shadow things moving.
They heard voices and screaming and stuff,
too, that kind of stuff is rare in poltergeist. It's not reported as much. It's, you know, and in mine, I didn't see that particular one. Well, there was some voice at the end, and we did see some distorted, like, clear spots. You're not really quite sure it's there, like a sphere. And then, like a blue haze, would come and go, but I wouldn't call them humanoid apparitions. No, they probably could have done it. It just didn't do it. I don't know.
Black Frog said, and then a demon just jumps through the window. Wouldn't it have been funny? I thought they were going to do this, actually, because, like I said, they were trying to make it more cinematic, it seemed like. So after that whole thing at the end where it's like, oh, they thought, you know, that was another haunting shit, but they're like, oh, we just left the window open. Ah, ha, ha, you know, it's fine. It would have been funny if, like, a little demon had popped up around the window and been like, shh. Like, I thought they were going to do that. They didn't do that, though. Maybe they thought that was just going a little bit too far. Like, that had been a little bit too cheesy. Omri Vampire says parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Yeah.
I love that song, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, that's kind of like the recipe for getting rid of demons, I guess. All you need is some olive oil and some sage and, since, like I said, some bread to dip it in.
Your local Winn-Dixie.
Just go to Winn-Dixie. Yeah. And get yourself some demon fighting shit.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Get you some boiled shrimp. They love shrimp.
Do they?
Yeah, they love shrimp, yeah.
I never heard that.
Shrimp, crab legs, all kinds of shit. Show with that. Throw the water
some
around.
Drawn butter.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, might as well. Might as well. But yeah, so that's pretty much the end of that episode. So what else, what have we learned from this particular episode? Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
That dude has huge nostrils. Yeah. It was really bugging me the whole time. I should have looked it up because some of the actors that are on Haunting, like obviously they have IMDb pages because some of them have been in other things. And the dude that played Bryn on this one was so familiar, and I couldn't figure out if I'd seen him specifically before or if he's just reminding me of somebody else. For a second, I thought he reminded me of Matthew Lillard from the Scream movies, or, you know, he's been in other things too, but that's where I mostly remember him from. But it's like, that's not quite right. But it was somebody like that, like somebody in that circle or somebody that was in those movies or those type of movies, like at that time period. He kind of reminded me of that. And like I said, he looked very, I don't know why, he just gave me like the impression of like looking very 90s, even though this show came out like in 2012. So I don't know. And like I said, he had huge nostrils. I mean, that's not his fault though. It's not like you can do anything about the size of your nostrils, really, can you?
Mm.
I don't think you can.
I didn't notice it.
I think it was because, well, and because the only photo, it's really hard, okay, it's really hard to find,
making fun of the guy's nose.
Photos, well, he can't help it. It's, okay. You know, it's,
he
it's
can't
not,
help it, so making fun of
no,
fun
I'm not making fun, okay. I'm just saying they were just, I was commenting, they were really big nostrils.
Okay.
But, I think some of it might have been because he was making that face all the time, and so it looked like his nostrils were flared, so it probably made them look bigger. But also, it's really hard to find stills, like, photos from these episodes. Because usually if you go, because, you know, each episode has, like, an IMDb entry. And usually there'll only be, like, one photo. And it's usually, like, real shitty and low res. And it's usually not even a picture of anything, like, exciting. Like, it's not a picture of the ghost or anything like that. It's usually just a picture of, like, you know, a couple of the actors just standing around, you know? Which is weird. And the only photo from this episode was actually an exciting scene was the part where Bryn gets dragged across the floor. So that's what I used for the thumbnail. It's just, so it's like his face real close up and like his big nose and his mouth is open. And he's like, ah, you know what I mean? So maybe that's kind of why, maybe that's, I got the impression that he had like big nostrils because of that photo. I don't really know. But yeah, so that was that. That was Blood Visions. And, I guess, you seem like
that's
you,
it. Wrap it up.
Yeah. Wrap it up.
We've been ending the show for 10 minutes,
have we?
Yeah.
I was trying to say other shit, but
yeah,
that's
no,
okay.
No, there's nothing more to say about it.
All right, okay. All right. So yeah, we're gonna wrap it up and go and do some other shit, and we will be back Wednesday night, which I think is going to be a cool show. This is going to be a cool show because somebody recommended this to me a while back and it won in the poll. So Wednesday night we're doing a show about the High Priestess of Blood, Magdalena Solis. She is a Mexican serial killer.
Okay.
And there's also a cult angle. This was like back in the 60s.
All right.
And it's a cool story. Like, I haven't, like, I've done, like, I started doing some research on it yesterday. I'm going to do some more, like, before the show. But it's a fascinating story.
Already.
Like, how it came out. But yeah, so we will see you guys then, and thanks for dropping by, listening to us talk about Haunting today. We'll see you guys on Wednesday evening. Good night.